You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. We're here every Monday in this beautiful, sunny Florida, in Cocoa, Florida, in our studio. And Ellen, we can also be heard all over the world.
All over the world, right here on 1510WWBC.com. You'll be able to click download the shows, or you'd be able to listen on demand right from that spot. You may have to download something on your phone or your device, but it's a very quick process, and then you can hear us live. And we are live each and every Monday right here from the studio at 1 o'clock. If you want to listen to our past shows, those are all on there as well, if you know the date or the person that you're looking to hear.
Yeah, just put the person's name
in.
Well, it's pretty good about putting that up.
Yeah.
So we sit here in the studio on Mondays. It's become part of my life. It's almost like this studio is part of my living room that's extended over here. Mm-hmm. We pay for the airtime. We get sponsors to sponsor our shows. And praise the good Lord, we've been on air going on 11 years. Mm-hmm. Whatever we're doing, Ellen, it's working.
It is
working. Ellen, myself, Samantha, and Kim comes along right now, too, because Kim is learning so that she can have her own show on WWBC. And we speak about things that are going on around the nation, things that are going around on our state, in Brevard County, Florida, and yes, all over the world. And we are happy that people love our show and enjoy what we call kitchen table topics. Mm-hmm. Whether we're talking about voting rights, whether we're talking about what's happening in Texas, whatever it is, we talk about it. And we get people to tune in and listen in an unscripted manner. And the information is very valuable.
Absolutely.
We speak to people with nonprofits, and we love what they're doing. It's just like us. If you have a few minutes to give, you lend your time to the nonprofits, or you work in a profession that you're giving back to humanity. And today is no different. Our show today, we've got a gentleman. His name is an attorney, and he's calling in from Hollywood, Florida, I most believe. His name is Mr. James Fox Miller. And in studio, our friend Beth Thiers is here, and she's going to be talking live in studio with us about the Florida Elks Children Therapy Services, the second segment. So welcome to our show, Beth.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be able to talk about it.
Right. And Ellen, I'm so glad you're here. I'm not going to screw up anything ever. It's Ellen O'Neill.
Come on, Sita. Don't put that kind of pressure on yourself.
Yeah, I figured it out. I'm like, you know what? I need to remember this because, you know, nobody, it's not like me. Like when Homeland Security looks at my passport, it's Sita Durjan Ishmael Begi.
Right. Exactly.
So I know I butcher up my own name. Some properties we own have Begi, some have Ishmael Begi, some have Durjan, whatever. So I understand about names. And Kim Meredith is here, and Kim is going to be starting her own show right here on WWBC. With the help of the good Lord above, she's going to be starting this October 14th. Yes. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Thank you.
And so before we go to Mr. Miller, who's on the phone, I just want to say, you know, we all talk about politics, right? And I was listening to a couple of my friends speak this weekend about our school boards. Our school boards have become too political. When people run for that seat, they label it as a nonpartisan seat. But sadly, it is not. And I'm hoping that people will understand that what we want for our children, for our future, is a safe environment, a great public school where children could learn, get educated, and give back to humanity. And I'm hoping and praying that the school boards stop being so political. Dude, you wear a mask, you don't wear a mask. If you wear a mask, you're helping everybody else.
And the children are watching.
You're helping everybody else. So stop
it. The children are watching.
And they're learning.
Sometimes they're learning really bad things, you know, because of the adults fighting. So
right.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll get to a better
place.
Understanding.
And that's why I thought it was a great thing to have Mr. James Fox Miller. And I think Kim is all ready to read up his bio a couple of sentences before we get him on air. He is an attorney calling in from...
Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Hi.
Jim, we wanted to ask you really quick. You sent us the bio, and it's great. And you were also... You primarily focus on family law. You're involved in numerous complex commercial litigation cases in various states. You have a lot of experience and expertise in negotiation, preparation for complex prenuptial agreements, which I think is great, and so much more. So before we start asking you questions and having you join us in this discussion, tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit more about yourself.
Well, I mean, it's really up to some in the back. One of the proudest things I have done as a lawyer is become president of the Florida Bar. I served in 1990, president-elect in 1989. I've been named in all of the editions of the best lawyers in America and by Law Dragon magazine as one of the 500 best lawyers. That happened twice, just a handful of family law lawyers. But I do a lot of things, and I got involved in some non-legal matters when I was quarantined, like everybody else, turned on the television and got really mad when I saw the rule of law being destroyed by our Attorney General, Bill Barr. So I started posting things, and now I understand I post daily. I have many thousands of readers, and then you asked me to be on the show. So I have a few pet issues, one vaccinations, that I'd like to talk about a little. And then you can ask me any questions you want, and I'll do my best to answer them.
Well, we appreciate your Facebook postings, and I like how you put the day. Like, you'll put Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and it really makes me think about the actual day. And as you know, freedom of speech comes with a choice, and we're blessed that Paul here gives us an opportunity to carry on with our show every Monday, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And yeah, we like to keep our conversations unscripted. We educate the public, and we feel like our show is very valuable for the state of Florida, our community, and people who tune in to our show. So with that being said, yes, I, like you, are concerned about most of the issues you are concerned about, and it is a like-minded meeting of the minds with you and I. So tell us a little bit how you feel about the voters' rights. I mean, I feel like we should be making it easier for people to vote, and I know you've had some things to say about voting rights legislation. So let's start off our show with a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think that we have lots and lots of major issues to address. But the key underlying issue that is the foundation for everything that comes on top of it is to make sure our democracy works. And in order for our democracy to work, everybody who is eligible to vote should vote and be able to vote, and the laws should be such to make it easier for them to vote, not harder. Now, the problem that exists, because there is very restrictive voter legislation in at least 18 states, all of those states are Republican states. And the reason they are trying to restrict the voting is that there are more Democrats than there are Republicans. And if everybody were allowed to vote, the Republicans would win many, many fewer elections. So there are two keys. One is to give everybody access to the polls so they can vote. And then the second part is, who counts the votes? And so you need to have legislation to protect everybody, particularly the brown and black and other minority voters, who the vast majority of whom are going to vote Democratic. And that, until you open up the ballot box, what access, what if somebody is elected for public office, the way to get rid of somebody who doesn't do their job is to vote them out of office. If you can't vote, there's no democracy. And so that's the underlying key to everything. Nothing else going to happen until everybody has access to the ballot box.
Right. And, you know, it's amazing that the people who are seeking to obstruct others from voting, they don't realize that they're also going to be obstructing people in both parties, not just the Democrats. When you can't vote by mail, when you can't vote by mail, or you don't have extra hours to vote, unfortunately, it's going to affect people who are Republican and Democrats. But as I sit here today in our studio with my friends on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, I think the safest thing to say to folks who are listening to our show today on the voting rights is make a plan to vote. Make sure you know where your precinct is. Make sure your driver's license is up to date. Make sure you know your precinct. Make sure you know where you're going and how you're going to cast that vote. I see Ellen shaking her head.
Yeah, absolutely. Because what happens is people wait till last minute and then they get frustrated because they can't get everything done in 5 minutes. Well, the pandemic changed things a little bit for all of us to get IDs updated and all of those things. So take the time now. And also the same thing, just like we've had League of Women Voters on here before, find a news source so that you can go look at the amendments that are on the ballots, and so that you can understand what each, because those words are done, you know, no, Jim, I apologize, but lawyerese is not easy to read when you're in a poll booth.
Well, so, I understand, but, you know, I get dozens and dozens of calls from people. Who should I vote for judge? Who should I vote for school board? My wife runs political campaigns and runs many school board campaigns. And most people are not going to know how important a school board is or who the candidates are. So I have posted and said, if you want help, call me, messenger me, do whatever, and I'll give you the slate of candidates that I think are qualified.
But in the same regard, too, of people being able to make their own decisions of who they want, you know, getting prepared.
That's right.
Yeah, well, getting prepared and making sure that you're reading both sides and reading who the candidates are and understanding what they stand for.
Go to their events.
Absolutely.
Donate time, energy, money.
But that doesn't happen a week before the polls open.
Right.
You have to make that plan.
That's correct.
That's correct.
I would if I could.
Yeah. I like that.
The reason this was very important to me to speak to a wider range of people is the issue of vaccinations. And I did this, I'm doing this every possible opportunity. I won't let people in my house to work if they're not vaccinated. I stood up at my temple this past week because I'm a former president, and I had a chance to read from the prayer book, and I was given the opportunity to say a few words. And what I said essentially was this: we all have constitutional rights. We all have the right to choose, which would take us maybe into the abortion issue in a minute. But we do not have the right to abuse other people's rights. Your constitutional rights are fine until they step on somebody else. And as an example, if you wished, you could tie on a vest with a bomb and blow yourself to smithereens, but you can't do it with other people standing by who are going to get hurt.
That's right. You could do that
alone. People are getting hurt. Mm-hmm. People are getting hurt every day, and they're dying every day, including children, because they're not being vaccinated. And to me, it is incredible.
Yes.
And whether you believe in a God or not, but a pandemic came and we were lucky enough to get a cure. how people can even think about not taking the cure. It just boggles my mind.
Well, you know,
there is no valid reason not to be vaccinated, other than a few people have medical reasons, and that I understand.
Well, we agree on that, all of us. And here's the thing. Our newspaper called me because they did an article recently about COVID-19 and the vaccine and healthcare workers and Medicare, Medicaid, and President Biden's new mandate. And they said, well, what would you say? Why would you say you got vaccinated? And I said, look, I got vaccinated to protect myself, my family, my community, my state, my country, and the patients that I take care of. I mean, what else do we need? What other proof do we need to show people that the vaccine is working? If you wear a mask in places that you don't know if someone was vaccinated or not, and you feel unsafe, you wear your mask. But I think you speak to all of us when you say you are taking the initiative to stand up in your temple and talk to people. And I think that's what all of us should be doing, is taking that opportunity to speak to people. My husband is a retired physician, and he just boasted to me that between him and I, we got 28 people who were mostly Republicans to take the vaccine. And we're proud of ourselves, too, because last year they were saying they will not take it. And as of today, at least 30 we know have taken it. But anyways, we have a question from a listener for you.
Can you explain why nobody complained about the polio vaccine or the smallpox vaccine or tetanus? If you get bit by a rabid dog or a rat or something, doctor says, I need to give you a tetanus shot. You say yes. It doesn't make any sense.
I'll tell you why. Because people made the vaccine political, and it shouldn't have. But anyways, we're going to move on to another question that Kim just got from a listener.
So, Jim, I cater a lot of things, but one of my biggest things is the gun show, which is coming up in a week. So I really am interested in what and your feelings about gun control.
Well, I mean, you know, we had in Broward County, where I practice law primarily and where I have lived for over 50 years, we had the terrible shooting in the school. And in fact, a woman that my wife just elected, was the campaign chair for and put on the school board, her husband died in that shooting. I have always believed in gun control. If the people want to be entertained and learn at the same time, go on YouTube and listen to Michael Douglas in The American President give his speech at the end, where he says, if I have to go from door to door, I'm going to get those guns. Now, we're not talking about guns for hunters. I have no problem with that. But I have a big, big problem with automatic weapons. I have a problem that people can buy guns with less problem than they can get a driver's license. In Massachusetts, there's all kinds of requirements before you can get a gun. And they, I think, have the lowest problem with guns of any state in the country. I believe in strict gun control. I don't think that our founding fathers, when they wrote the Constitution, intended to allow people to have any kind of guns they wanted. They had muskets at the time. They didn't have machine guns when they wrote that article.
And they didn't have refrigerators to put their meat, and they didn't have freezers to put their meat.
Right.
Nowadays,
so
we have multiple.
I'm a very, very strong gun control advocate myself. At the same time, I understand that it is almost impossible to get elected to public office to do good, assuming you get somebody who's really there to govern and not just to get reelected, which is what too many politicians are doing, actually on both sides of the aisle. But I think the Republicans are much more guilty of this than the Democrats. When you get elected to public office, you're elected to govern, and they're spending more of their time just making sure they're reelected than they are governing.
Well, it's all about their fundraising, their events. They learn really quick which code words to use. I have seen people use words like On our station, we don't like to say the word abortion, but people do use that word. We've seen people use the word immigrant. We've seen people use the word border. We've seen people use the word baby. We've seen people use the word illegal. And, you know, the truth of the matter is most people do support the Second Amendment. They just want common sense gun control measures.
Is it unfettered is the question. Isn't there, just as there is some restriction on freedom of speech, as Holmes wrote, you can't go into a crowded movie theater and yell fire if there's no fire. There's certain things that you can't do. And so the Second Amendment, I'm not suggesting that they repeal the Second Amendment. I'm suggesting that it be interpreted in a manner that 16-year-old kids with emotional problems can't go out and buy an automatic weapon, walk into a school, and mow everybody down.
We agree
that
with
makes
you,
no sense
Jim.
At all.
We agree with you 100%. But we have about 6 minutes left of this segment, and I wanted to ask you really quick: what do you see as the major issues facing our country right now?
Well, I think the voting rights, as we discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get by voting rights, I think that there are a whole bunch of issues. The vaccine, getting the pandemic under control, because the pandemic really controls the economy. It's all connected. I think gun control, I think that climate control, immigration, obviously.
How about the filibuster, Jim?
And the biggest problem I see right now is that there's only one party, and that's the Democratic Party. The Republicans seem to be in Washington only to be obstreperous. They're not working together. Once you are elected, it's over. And I think that the big lie that Trump's election was a fraud has been debunked so many times, and yet millions of people still subscribe to that. So I think that the former President Trump has done this country a horrible disservice, starting with the fact that he would not cooperate with the new president in the transition. The idea is you had an election, somebody wins, somebody loses, you congratulate the winner, and you move on. And you try to help the country. We're all Americans. Now, underlying all of that, and I think this is a really important point, there's one human race. There's only one human race, and it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is, what your religion is, what your sexual preference is. We're all the same. We're not all as smart as one another, but we should all be given an equal chance to do the best we can with what has been given to us.
And we should respect each other as well.
Until the people acknowledge one human race, that the white Anglo-Saxon Christian are not running this country anymore. It is not a white Christian country. It is a polyglot of people from all over, all religions, all skin colors, and it's got to be recognized and respected in every manner. And it's not. Now, I think as time goes on and the older bigots die out, I'm hoping if we get good school teachers that the younger generation is going to be better. But if they're going to be taught by their bigoted parents, then we still have a problem. So how we get that done is one of the big problems I think we're facing.
So, Jim, we have about 2 minutes left in this segment with you. Really quick, now you're an attorney, you're still practicing, and I want to know, where do you find the time to do all the activism you're doing and educate so many of us? You've been, approximately practicing for, 55 years? And do you ever plan to retire?
Not as long as the phone rings and my brain works at its top level. There's something, I don't want to work any more 80-hour weeks if I can help it, but I love practicing law. I love the fact, because most of it's family law, that I can make a difference in people's lives. I like stories, and every time a new client comes in, they say, once upon a time, I married whatever, and they tell me a story. So I don't really practice law. I practice facts. The law's in the books, and it changes every time the legislature meets. What I do is I listen to facts and apply them to the law, and then I try to help them the best I can. And one of the things that has made me a success is what I just talked about. I don't recognize what color you are or your religion or anything else. If you come and ask for my help, you don't ask me to do anything dishonest or unethical, and you pay me, unless I decide to do it pro bono, I will help you. And I don't judge what you did. I advise you within the parameters of your own value system, not mine. I'm married over 60 years to the same woman. I've been a faithful husband.
We love that.
A lot of people come in here. And they live differently, so I don't judge that. I'm there to help them, and I help them the best I can. And
we need more gyms in the world, right, guys? Mm-hmm. So, Jim, we have almost one minute left of the segment. This is a yes-no question, and then Ellen is going to take it from here. So Kim had a question.
Okay.
What do you think we should do about the filibuster? We just got a question in on our phones about that.
That's not yes or no, but I think it
30
has to
seconds.
Be,
you got 30
to,
seconds,
it has
Jim.
To be, it has to be modified. I don't think you're ever going to eliminate it, but it has to be modified to stop the voting rights from being filibustered.
So tell us the name of your law firm one more time, the one that you work for, and then Ellen will end the segment.
Yes, it's Boy Shuler Flexner. It's a national and international firm. For 40 years, I had my own firm in Hollywood, and I joined Boy Shuler about 16 years ago, headed by David Boies, who is the most brilliant lawyer in the world, probably, and my best friend.
Well, thank you so much, Jim, for joining us today, and we will connect our Facebook page with your Facebook page as well, because we want to make sure that we're getting those updates on your daily blogs, as we call them, or vlogs, or whatever they're calling them these days on Facebook. But
thank you for having me. I enjoyed talking to you.
We'd like to have you back again. I'll send you a new date.
So,
okay.
Folks, stay tuned in here to Viewpoint with Sina and Friends. We're going to take a quick station break to hear our sponsors, and then we'll be right back with Elizabeth Thiers with the Elks Occupational Therapist with Florida Elks.
Sina and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Champion Home Healthcare, keeping your loved one happy, healthy, and at home. Available at 321-306-2551. Once again, 321-306-2551.
2551. Champion Home Healthcare is ACHC accredited and licensed, Medicare certified, and a TRICARE provider. Champion Home Healthcare, 306-2551.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. And we are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. And Ellen, we can be heard online.
We can. You can go to the 1510wwbc.com site and you'll be able to listen right on demand. You can just click that on demand button, or you can get all of our downloaded shows from there as well.
Right.
So you can listen live or you get our shows. But what a great segment that was with Jim, a very prominent attorney here in Florida. And man, we hit all the big three topics, the things that people kind of talk about all the time and have debated back and forth, depending on, you know, again, political party or however you feel about gun control, however you feel about voting rights, and certainly however you feel about vaccinations. It's still the same thing. Well, the same message has always been the same. Get educated. Find out all sides of everything before you start making decisions, you know,
right.
About for yourself. Make
You're
sure
right.
that those
and
are the right things.
As Jim was speaking to us, Mr. Miller, something flashed across my phone. Multiple injuries reported in shooting at Virginia High School. Right. As students are seen fleeing and cops declare a major incident right now.
Right.
As we speak.
And you and I have talked about this on the show several times, Sita. Sometimes it's gun control driven, and other times it's mental health driven, right? So, I mean, that's kind of the opposite, if in my mind. Maybe we don't really need a whole lot of gun control. Maybe we need more mental health options for people.
I think we need both.
And exactly.
I think we need
both.
But
I think the former, you know, the mental health issues, we're giving way too many drugs out.
Yeah.
You know, for things.
So
anyway,
our second segment
anyway,
is with,
let's go on to something nicer and friendlier
Beth,
to talk about.
Our friend Beth is here. Our friend Beth is here, and Beth Fears is, a.k.a. Miss Beth, is an occupational therapist with 30 years of experience working with children of all kinds. She has training in sensory integration, various types of body work, floor time, feeding techniques, childhood development, working with families, and many other topics. And she is here to talk to us about the clientele that she serves and their unique abilities and of themselves and their caregivers. So, Beth, take it away. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get involved with the Florida Elks Children Therapy Services?
Well, I have to say, I fell into just the best job ever if you're going to be a pediatric occupational therapist. As an occupational therapist, we look at human occupation. So that's what people do. So in children, that is things like play skills, social skills, self-care skills, and as they get older, we work on their school skills. And we do that. Occupational therapy is where mental health and physical health meet. Originally, occupational therapists were mental health providers. And along the line, we also realized that part of mental health is also physical health. So we're kind of where those two meet. There are still occupational therapists out there who primarily work with mental health. And with children, that is a perfect intersection. So that means I end up working with children from everything with who are neurodiverse kids, who have ADHD, who are on the spectrum. I work with kids with Tourette's. I also work with kids who have more physical disabilities, cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, those kinds of things. So I have a real wide range of things that we look for. And what that did was that led me into, from private practice to school, I found out about the Florida Elks Children's Therapy Services. It is just the most fantastic thing you've ever heard of. We do no-cost occupational and physical therapy throughout the state of Florida. I do not cover the state of Florida. It just feels like that sometimes. That's the big joke. There are 30 of us now. we are fully funded through the Elks Lodges. So one of the ways that, so that's kind of how we work. We come into the home or into the community. We also want people to know that you do not have to be poor. We service a lot of people who are middle class. We service a lot of people. We just don't want people who are rich or who can afford it themselves.
Right, yeah, because you want to make sure that the funds are going to the right people.
We want the funds to go to the right people.
Beth, let me ask you, can you discuss the occupational therapy? Like, tell us what it is, how it's unique, and some of the misconceptions.
One of the biggest misconceptions, thank you, because that's a big one for us. One of the biggest misconceptions about occupational therapy is that we do only fine motor work. If we only did fine motor, I would be called a fine motor therapist. I am not a fine motor therapist. I am an occupation. So we specifically look at human occupation. So I can, in a day, I could be working on toileting skills with somebody. I could be working with play skills for somebody. Or I can, like some of my older kids, we're working on being able to sit through class, being able to do handwriting correctly. But also that we also say that handwriting isn't just in the hands. Handwriting is a visual motor skill. Handwriting is a gross motor skill in that you have to sit and you have to be able to process that. I have a lot of training in what's called sensory motor, which is taking all those what we call seven senses together and creating an occupation. So like, for example, a lot of my kids may have under or over sensory, so they may be sensory sensitive, which means that they either feel too much or they don't feel enough. There's a couple of things, but they can also may not know where their body is at in space. This is also called what we call bilateral hand skills, which are using your two hands together or the two sides of your body together. For example, one hand has to hold down the paper and the other hand has to write, or you're cutting, or if you're making a sandwich, you have to be able to hold your sandwich and you have to cut that sandwich. That's using your two hands together. Also, when you get dressed, you have to use your two hands together. But you also have to be able to motor plan that sequence. You have to go, okay, this is what I need to do to get that activity done. So for example, if I want to put a shirt on, I have to know which side's up and which side's down. I have to know that my arms go in first and then it goes over my head. I have to know that my arms don't go in the neck hole and my head doesn't go in the armhole. And those seem like very simple things, but a lot of my kids that I work with really struggle to
right.
do those very basic
activities.
I guess
it could be very frustrating as well, because
right.
even when you know you have your children at home and they're learning to put on their pants and shirts, some of the kids still mix up whether it goes over the head or into the arms.
Correct.
And just imagine somebody who has challenges, how difficult that would be for them.
Right, and they may have motor challenges, they may have difficulty, it may be more of a neurological difficulty of being able, what we call being able to sequence that activity going from beginning to end. Some people don't know how to, like, for example, a lot of my kids who are on the spectrum, a lot of times have a lot of difficulty in starting or ending an activity. How do I even motivate myself to start this activity?
Beth, why are we seeing so many kids nowadays, and I have one at home that has major sensory issues, she does, you know, she's touching paper, she's licking everything.
Yeah.
But why are we seeing so many kids now on the spectrum? I mean, why is that becoming an everyday word now? Oh, that child's on the spectrum. Oh, that child's on... When we were younger, we never heard that term.
There are lots of reasons, and this is a real hot button topic. A lot of times, I've been doing this for about 30 years now, and I can tell you that when it comes to what we classically thought of as autism, think of somebody like Rain Man or the very well-known lady called Temple Grandin. Those are people we aren't really seeing more of. We are seeing those people at a similar rate. So we aren't necessarily seeing those. Is what we have seen is somebody like Dr. Temple Grandin almost wasn't even diagnosed as autistic, because it was a very tight and very difficult diagnostic criterion. Over the years, they have expanded that criterion a lot for kids. So it's partially that. It's partially we don't send those people automatically to an institution. A lot of these people, like I know certainly in the 70s, a lot of those people would have been institutionalized and we never would have talked about them. We also didn't count these people up until the 70s or 80s. The first I also have training in public health, so this was my big thing about when I was getting that training was, how do we even define all this? We didn't even think these people were worthy of being counted until the 70s and 80s.
Like they were not worthy.
Right.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. And then to be counted as having somebody who has a unique challenge as opposed to just somebody who is mentally ill or has what we used to call mental retardation.
Well, how about bad behavior, though? Isn't sometimes it just bad behavior? And sometimes, they really aren't on the spectrum?
Sometimes, but also that could be other. When I look at children, I go, well, what is behind that quote-unquote bad behavior? There could be a lot of different things. And certainly we have a lot more people. I found that in my years, it used to be we'd have a huge overdiagnosis. We used to have in the late 90s, we had a huge overdiagnosis of kids who were ADHD and bipolar. A lot of it is getting that word out. But then we also have to understand how they count people. So they count people by they take a phone call and they say, okay, how many people in your area, in your household, have autism? Now, and they will count that up and they extrapolate that to the higher number. So that's a big issue. They don't always come back and have somebody actually check out what that diagnosis is.
Right.
So
right.
I get a lot of kids. I've had families where I've gone, I don't think I can't diagnose. So I always have to. We always preface that with, I'm an OT. I can't diagnose. But from what I'm seeing, your child may have something different. For example, I had a kid who's diagnosed on the spectrum. But when I sat, because we sit there, I'm in there for an hour a week getting to know the family, really getting to know this child. And when I looked at him and I said, okay, here's my ideas. This is what I'm seeing. You have a family history of bipolar disorder. You have a family history of OCD. And I'm seeing a child who has severe, our big $50 term is called dyspraxia, which is he has a lot of difficulty with his motor planning. And he's extremely smart kid. So if I went in and messed something up that he worked hours to figure out, at 4 years old, he's only going to have a certain number of behaviors to pull back on. And yes, he's going to have a fit.
Yeah,
because
tantrum.
He worked really hard right. on that. And, you know, we see a lot of that.
For listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with our friend Beth Thiers. And Beth is here. She's speaking with us about the Florida Elks Children's Therapy Services. And Beth, now that I've met you in person and I'm listening to you, and I watch how you are talking about working towards goals for the children and the approaches you use, you are a fierce advocate, my friend, and I love it. Mm-hmm. You are a fierce advocate, not just for the children, but for their families as well. And I think people like you, we need more, Beth, because you know what you're saying, because you've seen it, you know? And so tell us, where do you get your referrals?
We get our referrals. So most of our families can self-refer, unlike a lot of other programs where you have to go and go through, like if you go through Early Steps or something, you have to go through them and we get referrals through them. But you can also self-refer us. And there are several ways you can self-refer to us. If you prefer to do it the old-fashioned way and talk to an actual live human being on the phone, we have a 1-800 number that is statewide, and that 1-800 number is 1-800-523-1673. Or if you're like me and sometimes you're just kind of done talking with people and you'd prefer to do it online, that's okay too, because we try to get you as any way that you feel comfortable. And our online presence now is www.elkstherapy.com. That's www.elkstherapy.com. We have both, you can download an application, and we now have, yay, thank you, Laz, we love you. You can actually fill out that application online also.
And what does it mean when you say no cost?
Explain
to our listeners about the cost, how is it funded, and if somebody qualifies, how would they know?
This is the most fun part about our program, and it's probably our pride and joy, and the pride and joy of the Florida Elks lodges, is we are totally no cost for our families. And that means we also don't bill your insurance. We are fully funded through our wonderful Elks lodges. Shout out to my lodges on East Central District. You know, I love you guys. So we are totally funded through them. We are also funded through various Elks organizations. My Ladies of the Elks are awesome. Also, they are a auxiliary to our Elks Lodges. And occasionally we do get some outside funding. Some for like 1 year we got funding through the Dan Marino Foundation to supply speech therapy. But our primary focus is occupational therapy and physical therapy throughout the state. And again, when we call you, we are not going to bill you. We don't bill your insurance, and we do not bill any federal funding. We did not get any government funding. We are that strange charity that can do this on our
No hidden agendas.
Mm-hmm. We are here to see our kids, and we are, and we also.
It's just awesome, isn't it?
So I made a post the other day.
Yeah.
And I said, if you constantly look at the problem will grow. If you focus on the solutions, all of a sudden resources will start presenting themselves. Who knew that the Florida Elks team had this for kids? And I see so many of my friends that are, you know, not necessarily suffering, but, you know, have questions about their child's behavior. Or I'll give you a funny one. My friend has a 2-year-old that had just started walking and said, you know, she's got kind of a little limp. And I said, well, you know, what's the doctor say? Well, the doctor says, you know, maybe it's her hip and maybe it's her growth plate and went through this whole thing. Her shoes were too tight. Had nothing to do with growth plate. You know, so I mean, those kinds of things. But resources like you, Beth, is awesome because you think through the problem. You've been through all of these other things and you've had all these other clients.
Experience.
And stuff, so you ask the questions.
She's got the experience.
But what a great resource for the people around here.
And I tell everybody, I said, you know, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be a great, huge problem. If you have a question about your child's development, we are there for you.
How did the Elks get started? I want to know. I mean, because there's had to be somebody that sat down and said.
I had no idea.
You want the cheeky version?
Yeah, okay. Tell us, because it is fascinating. Ellen is right.
The original cheeky version is the Elks themselves are a nationwide organization. But it's built, so they started out with a bunch of guys who wanted to drink on Sundays, mm-hmm. and they created a club. But from that, they decided, hey, sometimes our friends are in bad straits. We need to help them. And then so what that ended up being is a nationwide movement, and the Elks themselves do things for children, veterans. They do a lot of patriotic things. It is amazing when you go to an Elks convention. It makes you cry when you see just how much as a group of people together through all these states, what they do. They also do a lot of scholarships. So what happens is our Florida folks used to have, and there may be some of your listeners may have actually been treated by our hospital that we had up in Umatilla. Well, due to more modern techniques for children, we don't have 6-month rehabilitations anymore. We have these really great surgical techniques. So when they closed the hospital, they created the Florida Elks Children's Therapy Services as one of their major projects in the state of Florida. They went from maybe serving maybe a couple hundred kids a year to serving over 500 kids, 500 to 800 kids a week for no cost at through our services.
And this is all home-based. The therapists come to the home and take care of the children. So there's not a lot of inconvenience for the parents to transport.
We do home. Sometimes we do private schools. I also tell people that you can be getting therapy within the Florida school system, but because when we come in, we are specifically working for our families. Because once you're with us, you're our family. Our families, what their goals are for their child. So that's how you get a hold of us. You know, so that's why we always want people to call. Just give us that call when you have those questions, and we'll let you know if you provide for us. So our number again is 1-800-523-1673. And our website, if you prefer that, is www.elkstherapy.com.
So well, once you know, again, you get to choose how you spend your time, and a lot of people do provide, you know, go to organizations like the Moose or the Elks or the Lions Club. Each one of them has a kind of a function, right? Or a kind of a line. Like I know the Lions Club, I always donate my eyeglasses to.
Correct.
Because they do blindness for children. And
yeah,
so
look
forth.
At the names, the Moose, the Elks.
It's all the animal names. Pick an animal club.
And you have no idea how long I waited to bring Beth on the show. And I had no idea. This is absolutely astonishing. It's amazing. So Beth, tell us about a success story. You know, you probably get a lot of referrals from the schools and other people. Tell us about a success story when a child starts putting on his own clothes or buckling his own shoes, and how does that make you feel?
So I'm gonna. We always have to talk in generalities because Brevard County is the biggest little small town in America. especially when it comes to the disabilities communities, we all know each other. We're all 6 degrees of separation from each other. But my day, my weeks can be like I come in and I have kids. I can have a kid who maybe you'll know who I'm talking about if they're hearing this. where we started out with somebody who was so anxious and so upset, he couldn't even write his name. And we spent a lot of time, I spent a lot of time being cursed at. I spent a lot of time being having, because again, a child who was not reaching their potential. We always say we want our kids to always reach their highest potential because that's what we look for. We don't do that Jerry's kid pity thing. We're here to watch our kids become champs. What we do as a therapist, I'm looking at what is the difficulty for this child. It was anxiety, a lot of that motor coordination, motor planning. He had a lot of difficulty in the past with no success, and we eventually were able to get him to be able to do his own, start doing his own homework with only a couple prompts from mom, to being able to sign his name, to not having total meltdowns every time I came in. I mean, this is what we deal, and we deal with big things like that. But we also have a kid now who's going to this. These are always very ridiculous, folks. But if you've been impacted by this, you know what I'm talking about. That when your 4-year-old isn't going to the bathroom on their own and still doing pull-ups, we do the yay, you're going potty. And we do the happy dance for
and that's
we
rewarding.
Celebrate everything.
I remember my kids potty training.
Yeah.
And we had to dance and sing, and you know, when the business comes out and it's in the toilet, we did a dance before we said goodbye. Goodbye, Mr. Yeah. So-and-so. Goodbye, Mr. Cookie.
And we help families figure out what it is that's going to work for them, because I always come up with my families and tell them, look, I've got a big bag of tricks, but they only work if they work for you. So part of my training has been learning how to figure out what works for what families and getting
and that
out
leads
of them.
Me to my next question. So how are the therapy services regulated? Do you guys have to follow a certain care plan? Are there goals and approaches? And do you report to someone under therapy?
So our boss is awesome. Our boss has decided that as therapists, we are professionals, and we know who we are trained to serve and who we are able to serve. So each therapist creates their own caseload based upon their training and what their abilities are. So my thing that I have to report to my boss is how many people I have, who am I serving today, and that's about it. Our big deal is we see kids for 26 up to 26 visits. 6 months worth of very intensive in-home therapy. As an OT, I do have to have a doctor's prescription, but that's about the last time I'm going to talk to that doctor, unless there's something like if I'm working with somebody who's feeding, I need to make sure it's safe for me to feed them, and I have to determine what level. Unless I'm doing other medically needed care, that's about the last time. Unlike somebody who has to deal with insurance, who has to do every 6 months, all these other things, I do my own evaluations and I do my own care plans.
And what about who has to be present at the sessions?
We want the person is under 18. Because we work with our families, we are very big on our families need to participate in our therapy. That's how we want them to pay for their therapy.
And Beth, when I call you, how long does it take for to either get a response or to actually get somebody to look at my child?
A response, somebody will call you within a week or two to be able to be seen. That's going to depend on what time you need to be seen at. Obviously, my after-school kids are going to take a little longer. Sorry, guys, I'm only one person. I can only work so late. And also where you're at, because I cover a wide territory, and so sometimes I have to be able to schedule people to use my time efficiently.
Right.
So again, we want everybody to know those numbers again and how to contact us, because this is what we're here for.
She's amazing. I can't believe one person is doing it. And I also noticed you had posted that this month actually is National Suicide Awareness Month. Thank you for posting that on your Facebook.
That's a big one because a lot of our kids that we deal with are at high risk, and we try to lower that risk as much as possible as an occupational therapist. So again, please contact us if you need help or have any questions. Our number is 1-800-523-1673, and click on the button that gives you to Children's Therapy Services. And if you prefer, you can also check up on us at www.elkstherapy.com. That's www.elkstherapy.com. Thank you.
I loved your website. I went on this morning while I was walking at the gym, and I saw one of the testimonials that someone wrote.
And lots of cute kids.
Yeah, it says, I didn't know there was a name for what Josh had. Now, seeing him enjoy the things I knew as a kid means the world. The changes I've seen in him and his abilities has been tremendous. Thank you. And they're thanking the Elks. And I thought it was great. But also, I want to say that, you know, every journey begins with a single step, right? And if someone is at home and they're struggling and they've got a child that could use the services, go online, fill out the forms, mm-hmm. or call Beth. Mm-hmm. Because this is amazing that they're not wasting hours upon hours to get insurance. Who's going to cover it? Who's going to make the co-payment? Mm-hmm. Who's going to help? Because they're generous human beings, just like our first guest, Mr. Miller, was saying. We're all one race, the human race.
And once again, if you're making a choice of an organization to join, I'm sure that a lot of the membership dues go toward this, you know, and funding all of the great things that the Elks are doing. So check out your local Elks. I know they have dance parties. They got all kinds of stuff that's going on that has nothing to do with therapy and kids. But I'm telling you, that's what funds a lot of this.
There's scholarships, too. There's a form to fill out if somebody is interested in the scholarships as well, which could make such a difference in a child's life.
We have both local, state, and national scholarships that are offered through the Elks. So please.
And low-priced drinks.
That's very right, exactly. So again, that phone number is 1-800-523-1673 to get a hold of Beth or Children's Therapy Services at elkstherapy.com. A big shout-out to Mr. Jim Miller, mm-hmm. who is the attorney that spoke to us earlier. We'll make sure that all of that information is on our Facebook page. Once again, thank you so much, y'all, for joining in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here each and every Monday here on 1510 WWBC and also our 3 FM sister channels. We'll see you next week.
The preceding program may not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WWBC.